Hello everyone, you're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Grace as the breath of God. Grace has many expressions. And without a doubt, it has engaged in your life so many times, you have no idea. How do I know when grace is in my life? Start with the premise it's in your life. The question you should be asking is, how do I ascend to where I can bear to cope with all the grace in my voice, but everybody has that. It's like a wave of guilt that goes through you that says, are you really sure you want to say that or think that about that person? That's grace in action. That's grace that comes in and says, take that back. grace operates in. It saves you from doing something harsh and dark, and gives you an option to do something good and light in its place. Grace is the breath of God.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Carolyn Mace on Grace. And if you've ever gotten a chance to listen to Carolyn's sharings on YouTube or even have read any of her books, I know that you are very clear in how much dignity and truth she lives her life with and how much she also inspires us to live a life of dignity and truth. We're always happy when you can join the America Meditating Radio because we are here to grow together, to raise the bar of excellence as people, as a community, as a humanity, as souls. Too often we tend to respond and react and relate to each other from such a lower quality of expression. In a Facebook Live I did with Paul Leftenegger yesterday, and please, if you get a chance, go to see his site. He's a Canadian singer. Beautiful singer at that. And we went on Facebook Live and we talked about trust and authenticity and dignity of the spirit. And we talked about the importance of how we need to move away from this culture that a particular group of individuals in America and around the world continue to feed, but the fact that they're amplifying it now at this time where I think many of us had become so comfortable with ourselves that we felt like everything was going to just move in towards something better. And then here comes this massive wake-up call that goes, no, it isn't. You know, if there's any lack of dignity in you, if there's any lack of dignity that you convey to another person, things are not all right. Things are not going to be okay. And today we have a very special guest. Dr. Donna Hicks is an associate at the Weatherhead Center for International Affairs at Harvard University. And previously, she served as the deputy director of the program on international conflict analysis and resolution at the center. She worked extensively on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and as a member of the third party in numerous unofficial diplomatic efforts. Now, in addition to her work, Donna has been doing a lot of work in the Middle East. She founded and co-directed a 10-year project in Sri Lanka, which brought various communities together for dialogue. Huge. Dr. Hicks has also worked on the conflicts in Northern Ireland and Colombia and conducted several U.S.-Cuba dialogues. She's now the vice president of Arab PACIS, help me on that one, Donna, an Italian organization sponsored by the Italian Foreign Ministry, which is currently involved in a dignity restoration project in Syria and Libya. Dr. Hicks previously served as a consultant to the British Broadcasting Company, where she co-facilitated encounters between victims and perpetrators of the Northern Irish conflict with Archbishop, our wonderful brother and friend, Desmond Tutu. She is the author of the book Dignity. Everybody, you've got to pick this book up. Dignity, its essential role in resolving conflict and leading with dignity. It was published this year, and today we welcome Dr. Donna Hicks on the air. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're most welcome. It's my pleasure.
Do you know how I came to find out about you?
No, I'm very curious.
A friend of ours came in. He's from the World Bank. He was a senior executive. He's just stepped down. He's relocating to Spain. And he kept sharing with us about the struggle he had in bringing, you know, dignity and better leadership into the bank. And he got so frustrated. And he says, you know, he went to study more about you. I think he even went to Harvard. His name is Camilo. I don't know his last name.
Camilo Escanate. Yes.
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 Isn't
he's
he
a very
wonderful?
Dear friend. Yes.
Isn't
he's
he
wonderful?
That's
oh,
how I heard
yes.
about you.
Oh.
That's how I heard
well,
about
yes.
you. He.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Small world, right?
Small world. You know, but when it comes to dignity, this is, it's such a connector, Sister Jenna. It is, it's something that everybody, so far I've encountered, everybody has resonated to this idea.
Yeah, you know, just recently I found myself in a particular situation where I heard something that was mentioned. It's not a big deal. You know, you grow into a lot of criticisms when you're in the front, and especially when you're a pioneer and you're changing systems and you're changing people's ways of interpreting you. You know, you get a lot of flack from people. But I heard something, and I don't know why, Dr. Hicks. It made me uncomfortable. And after I was watching your video and reading some passages in the book as well, I felt like my dignity wasn't regarded. Like, you know, they're not valuing my dignity, even though I know I must do that work on me. And we all know, ultimately, that's the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But while we're getting there, it still doesn't give people permission to keep throwing off on you, you know, perhaps their lack of dignity to force you to feel so bad about the way that you're living your life, you know? So it's an important topic. I want us to really go in detail about it because I really feel it's needed now. So you talk all over the world on dignity and the role that it plays in healing and reconciling relationships, especially in conflict. Tell us what you think dignity actually is and what it isn't.
Yes. Well, let me just briefly say in one breath that when I was going around all over the world resolving these conflicts, I mean, the attempt was to try to get them to agree to some kind of a peace, you know, peace settlement. And even though we had the smartest people at the tables, we had really high-level diplomats, we had high-level public officials, and, you know, it wasn't for any lack of intellectual ideas that prevented them from signing on to these agreements. And I was just fascinated by this idea that these very smart, motivated people could not sign on to an agreement that was obviously in their interest. And this is such a long story, but to make it very short, I ultimately realized, wait a minute, there is something deep-rooted, something profoundly human that's going on here that's preventing them from signing on. And it is about the way they're being treated. It's about their dignity. And once I had that epiphany, I mean, it came to me like a, you know, like a flash of enlightenment. This is about their dignity. This is why they can't sign on to these agreements, because they have been so mistreated. Their suffering has been, you know, ignored by the other side. And so from that moment on, I realized what I had to do was find a way to get people to talk about dignity. Because, you know, originally I was thinking, oh, we need to talk about all the trauma that you've experienced going through these conflicts. You know, you're emotionally wounded from this. And yet never in the negotiations, Sister Jenna, never were these emotional issues addressed. So I came up with this word dignity. I mean, I didn't come up with it. It came to me. I got the message about dignity. And once I would tell them, I would start talking to them. I'd say, look, you know, why don't you tell me about a time when you felt your dignity was assaulted here in this conflict? Well, the floodgates opened. Floodgates opened. People wanted to discuss it. They felt validated by having somebody say, you feel bad because your dignity was violated. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. Something wrong happened to you. So that distinction between feeling and experiencing a wound to their dignity and feeling so bad and shameful and humiliated, that changed everything. And that's what got me to write this book. And to answer your question directly about what I think dignity is, because it's such an emotionally charged issue, I realized, you know, I've been an academic all my life, but I realized I had to get straight to the core of these deep, profoundly, even spiritual issues of wounds to dignity. And I said, we have to figure out a way to talk about it and discuss it so that we can, you know, we can address it and heal from it and reconcile. So I came up with a very, very simple definition, which is that our dignity is our inherent, inborn sense of value and worth. And at the same time, we also have attached to that dignity, that inborn value, we also have inborn vulnerability to having it wounded. So, you know, on one hand, this is a wonderful, joyful notion that we all have dignity. We're born with it. It's something that comes, you know, when we come out of the womb, we are, I usually talk about it as bundles of little joy and dignity with these little babies. But nothing can take that away from us. We can have it assaulted. Right. Wounded, you know, we can suffer terribly from these wounds. But here's what, can I just share with you something that Archbishop Tutu taught me?
Absolutely.
Which is such a profound lesson in dignity. So I was working with him, as you mentioned in my intro, I was working with him up in Northern Ireland, and we were talking before we started doing the facilitation of the parties. We started talking, and he was so intrigued that I was working on dignity, and I said, I have so many people in all over the world who say to me that their dignity has been taken away from them from this conflict. And I said, yes, and my job, part of my job and our job as facilitators is to, you know, bring that dignity back into the people and into the room. And he looked at me and he said, and he had this very strange look on his face, what are you talking about, Donna? What are you talking about? Nobody can strip anybody of their dignity. And I said, excuse me, but I'm just repeating what all these wonderful, fine people who have been treated so badly, I'm just repeating what they said. And he said, Donna, don't ever, he said, you know, he's such a wonderful spirit. I just love him. He said, Donna, don't perpetuate the myth that somebody can take your dignity away from you. He said, it's just the opposite. He said, think of this. He said, how do you suppose all of us black South Africans got through apartheid? We got through apartheid, he said to me, because we knew our dignity was in our hands and our hands only, and that was the one thing that they couldn't take away from us. And he said, it's the one thing that kept us hopeful, kept us resilient, it kept us going and searching for that, you know, ultimate peace. And so, I mean, honestly, it was, I burst into tears because for me it was such a joyful moment, you know, having myself as all the rest of us at times questioning our worth, right? And just that one piece of truth with all capital letters that he shared with me. I mean, I'm grateful to him for not only telling me, but giving me that information so I can spread it out and into the world, because I do go out there. I am, you know, out giving talks all the time, and this is one of the first things that I start with. Dignity is something you're born with. It's your inherent value, but it's also, you're also inherently vulnerable to having it violated. Just don't ever think, says to me in his words, don't ever think anybody has the power to strip it away
to strip
from
your
you.
Dignity. So let me jump in here, because there's a lot in just those few thoughts that you've shared. And I could feel that, and I could understand that. And haven't we all been in situations where someone was extremely virtuous in front of you, and you maintained your dignity? Mm-hmm. And I can remember that for me, it felt like I knew my truth, and whatever they were offering me wasn't my truth. Now, I've had moments when others have said things or done things, and it's always, you know, when you hear it either from a third or a second party about what others said about you or what they're thinking about you, and it touches a subtle part of you that is still in need for some more work. I can't explain it in words, but there's a part of you is like, third party comes and tells me this and I'm feeling like this. The person didn't tell me in front of my face. Then you go to this long story, which perhaps has no meaning or validity. What I'd love to ask you, Donna, is what does dignity feel like? How do we know when we're in our dignity? What does it feel like? I shared with you, I feel like I'm in my truth, and whatever you say won't make me feel less than.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it feel like?
So let me say also, when you described your story, when the third party said something and you heard about it, and there, it's that what it feels like to have your dignity violated and assaulted. It's a crushing feeling. It takes your breath away. And there's an actual physical component to this. And I came across some fascinating research that showed, this was some neuroscience research that showed that when we experience a wound to our dignity, that it shows up in our brain in the same area as a physical injury. So the brain doesn't know the difference between an assault to our dignity and a physical wound. And if you think about what happens to us when we have a physical injury, you know, we go to the hospital, we get it all taken care of. But when somebody insults us, or when somebody, you know, says critical, you know, really, you know, hurtful things to us, our body absorbs that the way it would absorb a physical wound. And so what indignity feels like is that crushing feeling when, you know, you hear that third party, you hear that rumor about what somebody said, and you just, it's, it just makes you, it makes you a little bit sick inside. And
so this is
I'm telling you this, and I'm sharing this because this is actually monumental research, because what it says is that dignity really matters. It matters the way we treat each other. It matters what we say to each other, because our physical beings absorb that negativity just like they would absorb, you know, a broken arm or something that feels really painful. So I take this piece of research on the road, and I say, this is what gets me in the door. I say, we have to figure out what to do about these everyday indignities. And I think, you know, all of us, every day we go, we come across somebody who's totally unconscious about dignity. I have to say that I'm a recovering dignity violator myself, Sister Jenna. I mean, before I understood this, I wasn't aware of the impact of my actions on people. So mm-hmm. I really had to do the work myself. But what does the other side feel like? Which is, you know, I love that question. What does it feel like when you are rooted in your dignity? Well, first of all, I mean, maybe it's been 10 years that I have really absorbed this ever since I had that conversation with Archbishop Tutu. I have mm-hmm. really sort of meditated on a daily basis on what that is like to be firmly implanted, because I also think, and he believes, that dignity that we're born with, it's a divine part of us. It's our connection to something greater than ourselves. And once we get in that and get comfortable with it, and I'm now in thinking about helping people liberate their dignity, because so often our dignity is kept under, you know, it's kept in a kind of a prison inside us because we don't think we have it, or we it's been so wounded. So I think about liberating dignity, and the other side of it, I can tell you, is this very deep sense of peace, this very deep sense of being connected to everything. You know, it's, oh yeah, I am, you know, I have my dignity, but so does everybody else, and so does the entire physical universe. And so, you know, I'm a little bit of a kind of missionary now with this, because I feel so that every day I'm getting that joyful feeling, that really profound, centered, peaceful feeling of, well, you know what this feels like. I mean,
yes.
I can hear it in
yes.
your voice. So
yes.
I don't have to tell you. But and maybe my words would be different than the words you might use. But nonetheless,
right. But it's still,
I think,
dignity. It's still dignity.
And it, you know, sometimes, Sister Jenna, it doesn't. It sweeps over us like a wave, too. It doesn't
right.
necessarily be. It's not there every single minute of our conscious awareness.
No.
We have to.
No.
We have to keep coming back to it, right? We have to keep nurturing,
finding it, and
to
nurturing it. So
yes.
Let me take us to the current. Wow, don't
mm-hmm.
you love America? My goodness.
Oh.
I don't know
yeah.
what is happening, but we
I
are
know.
Going through a unique stage. Some of us are concerned if we're going to survive it. Some
mm-hmm.
of us are optimistic that we've always been resilient and we'll get over it. Some of us are so distracted. Some of us have a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are believing in the rhetoric that is being publicized on a consistent basis till you reach a point that you don't even think for yourself anymore. How would you bring dignity back to the United States of America?
Well, let me tell you something hopeful, because, you know, I go back and forth between despair and hope. And what keeps me hopeful is that I'm out there. I'm literally giving talks most of the time, and I'm out with, you know, big audiences, little audiences, big companies, little companies, faith communities. I'm in schools. I'm in, you know, corporations. And what I can tell you that most people probably don't know is that there is a deep yearning for this desire for dignity and this desire to be treated as if we matter. There is a common, I call it our highest common denominator, we humans, that we are searching for this. We're yearning for this dignity. But most people are just not aware. First of all, they don't understand their own dignity. And first of all, you have to have your own dignity intact, really, before you can recognize and see it in others. And so when I go out and I give talks and I, you know, I tell people, look, this is important. This is part of our education. We have to learn how to treat each other with dignity. And I came up in my book, as you probably saw, with 10 different ways that we can honor each other's dignity. And so once I introduce this to audiences and to, you know, workshops and the like, they are so ready It's like this is what they've been waiting for, to answer their suffering, because this dignity education is can address a source of human suffering and that we can do something about. There's a lot of human suffering we can't do stuff about, but this is a huge source of human suffering that with a little bit of education, with a little bit of awareness of what I call dignity consciousness, we can actually turn this around. And, you know, the most exciting things that I do, I honestly, are with little ones, are with young kids. And I'm talking about third graders, you know, kids as young as third grade. We introduced this dignity education to them, and I'm telling you, they are so, they're so close to their own divinity that they get this. They get this in such a profound way. Even, you know, with us adults, we have to get through all the crusted layers of, you know, of hurt and trauma that we've experienced before we can get to the sweet spot. But these little ones, and they're out there, you know, they're campaigning for dignity. They're so proud to be dignity leaders. And so there is this yearning, there is this desire, and I see it as the counterforce, honestly. And I think sometimes, I mean, the way this, you know, our spiritual growth happens, sometimes it takes a real shocking negative, you know,
event,
that's a better word. It takes that kind of an event to bring us into consciousness. And having this idea that we can learn how to treat each other better, because, you know, this is nothing we learn in schools. Introducing it to some schools, but this fundamental aspect of what it means to be human is something that has been so neglected. And it's not because we've deliberately neglected it. It just hasn't come up to consciousness yet. And I just think right now, this is dignity's time. This is dignity's time, and we can do it. And, you know, in my business, people say, well, all we have to do is find common ground with the people.
What if the looking for the common ground goes against the limitations in which the people are portraying on others to keep them in a powerless place and to keep them in a powerful place?
Yeah.
Really find common ground there? Because you could see what's going on with the publicity is that they're very clear. If we keep pushing this forward, we're going to have power for a long time, and we can't turn our backs now. We're in it. This is it. And so how do you bring that into that kind of an energy of consciousness that is so bent on feeling their power by disempowering others?
You just said it. And the second half of what I was going to say is that it's not common ground we need to look for, because the common ground is already putrid. It's already, the negativity is the common ground. What we need to do is find higher ground. We have to elevate ourselves, because we can do better. We human beings can do better with a little effort, with a little discipline, with, you know, you think about, I'm at a higher, you know, institution of higher learning here, at Harvard, where I've been for 25 years. We have spent so much time, we humans, on getting these advanced degrees, you know, so we can get the best jobs and be intellectually at the top of our game. But what about, and I say to people, if we spend a fraction of the time on understanding dignity that we spent on getting all those PhDs and master's degrees, if we just took half of the time, maybe even less, we would see appreciable changes in our consciousness, because we really need to be elevated. But it's not going to come without work. That's the thing. You know, we're going to have to work at this. And dignity education, I think, is the antidote.
Yes. So let's talk about your upcoming book, Leading with Dignity, because right now we are seeing a handful of leadership that is showing dignity. I look at the French Prime Minister. I look at the Canadian Prime Minister. I look at the Prime Minister of Germany, and I look at Prime Minister Modi of India, and you can see dignity. And I remembered Barack and Michelle and how when they were in positions of power, it never changed them. They showed everybody how power isn't something that makes or breaks them. It just reveals who they really are. So tell me about, you know, the book that's coming up. Is it about the current times that we're going through, and you're giving steps, and give us a sneak preview?
Well, you know, first of all, I also want to say I think with Barack and Michelle Obama, they also showed us humility along with strong leadership. I think that's one of the most profound takeaways from their time in the White House was not only how dignified they were, but how they understood, just like you said, that power, we can use a power can be abused so easily. And what we need to do is take that power that we each and every one of us has and use it to empower others. I mean, that's the difference, right? That's what they did. They empowered others through their leadership.
Yes.
And I don't even call what's happening now leadership. I'm sorry. It's something else. I mean, not my definition of what leadership is. And so Leading with Dignity, the book that I just finished and it's coming out in August, was actually a response to having gone into the corporate world, into healthcare, into education. What I realized was, and I did lots of workshops for people introducing what I call the dignity model and spent, you know, weeks, well, and if not years, on dignity education in these workplaces. But what I found out was that if the top leadership in these organizations, if they weren't signed on to this dignity campaign, to this desire to create a culture in their organizations that's dignified, if the leadership weren't, you know, directing the project, then nothing was going to change. Because there is, just like you said, there is so much power at the top, and that can be used to either abuse or it can be used to empower. And what I recognized was that most of the time, the top leadership in a lot of these places where I went in and did consultations, they'd never even thought of the concept of dignity. It wasn't part of their awareness at all. And these weren't bad people, Sister Jenna. These were people who just never been exposed to it, you know? They just had never had an experience to learn it. And so, I would embark on teaching the basic principles of dignity and sharing what I knew with them. And the leaders who actually signed on and who were right behind me and said, yes, this is what we want, those organizations were the ones that flourished. And
So
I thought, wow, this is really profound, because What I realized was leading with dignity had to come from the top, and because people need to see role models, people need to see what it looks like to treat each other well, and so they need to embody this wisdom. They need to embody what it looks like to be in a relationship with someone where you actually do honor their dignity and you make people feel great rather than diminished.
It's empowered.
It's empowered.
Yes.
That's the word. It's empowered.
You know, I have seen it. I have even been involved where people in authority are drunk with their position, their role, their titles. They're inebriated by it, that they don't even think about the way that you're going to feel when they look at you in a particular way that's condescending, when they speak about you to defame your character to others so that you are disempowered within an area that might threaten them. I've seen it over and over again, and it's become such an old language. But, you know, I believe that the law of karma has an address, and
Absolutely.
It always finds its way back. And I have to tell you something. I'm working on a program next year in New Delhi, India, at the Taj Palace, between February 8th to the 10th, 2019. It's the World Dignity Forum. I want you to be a part of that.
You
want to be there?
Yes, I know her. Yes, we've just recently been connected. Yes, the World Dignity Forum. Oh, I'm so happy that you're part of that.
Oh, good.
Oh my goodness,
this is the best.
Yeah.
Perfect for you. I'm going to send Minu a copy of our show, too. I know that she'd be thrilled.
Oh, terrific.
Leave us with some closing remarks. Anything that you'd like for us to really begin to lean more into living a life of dignity. And please, if you're ever in D.C., you've got to do a book signing at Meditation Museum. And we've got to continue to have this conversation. It really moves me.
Well, obviously we are meant to be working on this together. So this is great. This is just, especially, you know, starting with Camilo and then now with Minu.
I know.
And,
Minu, amazing.
Okay, this is good. This is good.
Sister Spirit.
You know, I think, Sister Jenna, the most exciting thing for me, having worked with this, grappled with this concept for, oh gosh, now maybe 15, 20 years, right? I can tell you that as hard as it is to see this human suffering and as hard as it is to see the sort of the deplorable ways that we're treating one another and not even really necessarily conscious of it. I mean, there are conscious dignity violations, but most of these everyday dignity violations are not, people not, aren't even aware of it. And so once we make that switch, once we have that switch turned on to becoming aware of the power that we have to make people feel great versus the power that we have to make people feel terrible and diminished, we've come to that choice. We can come to that choice. This is something we can really affect the world with. This doesn't cost anything, you know? You don't have to go and spend hundreds of dollars on technology to learn this. This is a real deeply spiritual matter. And once we figure out how we can connect with one another through this, our shared value and worth, and through this understanding, I'm telling you, I'm convinced that we can turn this around. We can turn this negative, horrible, hateful energy that our country especially is experiencing now. I already feel the shift. I already feel it. And so I think all of us, and we have to just be relentless about it. You have your forum here with your radio program, and people respect you and listen to you. This is what we have to constantly keep talking about it. We can't stop, and it's just so much fun on the other side of it too, right? The joyfulness that we experience is when we have relationships that are based on a shared understanding of dignity. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Absolutely, and it's like, you know what it feels like when it's the downward spiral. I don't know how they're breathing. But here's, I have to end. I know the producers are going, cut. I'm like, one more, just give me two more minutes with her. Can you just talk again, that question I asked a little bit earlier in our conversation, that subtle area in our emotions that becomes a trigger that my dignity is being violated by what you spoke, what you did, what you didn't do, what you should have done, or the way you defamed my name unjustly, or, you know, what is that subtle? Have you researched that subtle area of our emotions or consciousness that feels so bruised? And if so, what was the way to cure that or heal it?
Well, again, I think what we're talking about is that internal vulnerability that we have, that our dignity is, you know, our dignity is as fragile as any other part of our humanness. See, our sense of our worth, our sense of our value, it's equally as fragile. And yet, you know, we think, we don't even pay attention to at the impact that we have on others. And until we get to this awareness that, whoa, I mean, inside of us, we all have that fragility. Our dignity is fragile. It is like the most precious, you know, I think about it as something that, you know, we have to guard and we have to protect it, just like we would have to protect our physical beings. And I think it's just as simple as that inborn sense of who we are as humans, of our humanity. I mean, the fact is we're a miracle, right? The fact is human beings are miracles. And we're miracles because we're both, you know, vulnerable on one hand, but powerful beyond belief on the other. And it's that source of dignity, that fragility of our dignity that takes us in one direction or the other. And it's everybody has it. It's not just, you know, it's part of being human is that fragility and that vulnerability. Whereas, I keep saying the other side of that, though, is the power of connecting with people through that beautiful dignity. So we're just like a real complicated mess, we human beings, you know? We are so complicated, and we have to understand that complexity. I don't know if I'm adequately addressing your question.
Love it. That's a great way to end the show because I think it also offers us tools. Dr. Donna Hicks, I'd love to have you on the air whenever you want, especially regarding your book, Dignity, Its Essential Role in Resolving Conflict, Leading with Dignity, which I think is going to be an upcoming book published this year. So let us know when that comes out as well. What's the best website folks can find you on?
Yes, my website is drdonnahicks.com, and that's all lowercase. And I would be thrilled to be back on your program anytime.
Look, oh, beautiful. Looking forward to it. Well, congratulations on your upcoming book. Can't wait to get a copy. And many, many good wishes, and let make dignity shine.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a timely conversation, folks. The importance of dignity now more than ever. It can be as traumatic as even having an injury to your body. Can you imagine just to be criticized or to be offended or to even just, you know, have your character defamed, that it can attack you in such a deep way? And so find a way to talk about it. find a way to release it, even just saying what the person did to me wasn't right, and it's just not right, and just to hear that person. So I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please visit drdonnahicks.com for more information on her work on dignity, and she's always open for lectures and speeches, so you can contact her and let them know that you heard about her from the America Meditating Radio. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Take care, everyone. The America Meditating Radio is proud to partner with Shift the Network on the Summer of Peace Telesummit with Bob Thurman, Carolyn Mace, Hawk Newsom, Kalita Brohi, Daryl Davis, Chief Sylvia Moyer, and many more amazing peacekeepers. Register now for free at summerofpeace.net for the August 7th to 9th Telesummit today. It's our time to bring peace alive. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Radio. You can follow us on America Meditate Twitter or America Meditating Facebook. Please subscribe to our America Meditating YouTube page, and let's continue to grow our lives and elevate our beings and become the best we can possibly be. Take care, everyone.
Forget today's pain. Ooh, dream weaver, I believe.
I rise above. I'm the master of my own mind. I sit here with a pure intention to gain mastery over my thoughts and therefore mastery over my words and actions. As I hear the thoughts through words of others, I ask myself, is that my truth? My original nature is one of love, peace, purity, truth, and joy. And sometimes when I hear the words that do not match my original nature, I have the choice to rise above and remember who I really am. As a master of my mind, I decide which thoughts stay and which thoughts must go. I choose to rise above. As I rise above in consciousness and interpretations of stories, narratives that no longer support my truth or present, the greater power, the greater peace, and acceptance for myself and others surrounds me in this moment. As a master of my mind, I rise above, replacing thoughts of fear, anger, greed, and divide. Thoughts of belonging, respect, love, and wisdom. As I rise above, I find clarity, a deeper meaning, and the courage to continue to move on. I rise above, and I remember who I am and why I'm here. And that is to love everyone the same. Let me sit in the state of being above.